Good morning and happy Father's Day to all of you, especially you fathers. Brian, thank you for sharing with us last Sunday. You don't know how nice it is to let you guys do that sometimes. And especially last Saturday, we were trying to get ready for our Sunday night, and I could just work. It was good. I enjoyed it. But thank you. I appreciated what you had to share. And one thing that he did talk about was where Jesus said, sometimes these things that we face can only go out by prayer and fasting. And I think we really need to pay attention to that, because sometimes we face difficulties that there's no way through them other than allowing God to change our hearts. And I just thank you for that. My mind recently has been bombarded with the thought of choices. And as I thought of choices and I thought of fathers and how to tie those together, it took a while. Some of you heard me talk about what happened to me Wednesday. I was going to Aiken from Perry, and I often, if you know me, and I know there's a challenge to find a way around something and go through the bushes and find a new way to go, I'll usually try it. Well, I've got a new way to Aiken from Perry that I like. It's kind of like, you know, there's nobody out there, and normally I go that way, and it's the back roads, all of it. But Wednesday morning, I was on my way to Aiken, and I made a split-second decision not to go that way. And I was going down 302, not real far from Jonas's, and I couldn't figure out later why I didn't see this, but then later that afternoon, I went back that same way, and I knew what had happened. But I was kind of coming around a curve over a rise, and I saw a flash of dust, a flash of something go across the road, and a telephone pole shoot 30 feet in the air. And I knew this was not normal, and this was not good. And so immediately, I pulled over. One vehicle went on by, another guy pulled over, we look, the power lines are all intact, we take off, we look in the car, there's nobody there. And I'm like, this car didn't get here by itself. And then we heard a moan, and he's like, oh no, she's under the car. Anyway, that's the short version of the story. It was much longer than that. But as I went back that afternoon, as I re-walked that, and I realized that 1 minute could have been the difference. I'd have been right there. She'd have hit me. The highway patrol said the speedometer was pegged at 90 miles an hour. The difference that a few seconds can make. And as I thought of that in choices, my mind's just been really big. I think my family's probably getting tired of hearing this, but I'm probably not going to stop talking about it because I think choices are huge. This week I saw a bumper sticker. This has nothing to do with choices, but just to give you a little chuckle. Carlene and Janice will appreciate this. Support wildlife, raise boys. Another one that I read was a young man was in school and the teacher was having a little trouble with him, and they made a deal. And the teacher said, if you behave, I promise I won't discipline you. Well, if you've got young boys, you know how long that lasted. Not long. And so the teacher called him in, and he said, you remember the deal we had? He said, yes, I do. And since I broke my end of it, you're allowed to break yours. I don't think it happened, but anyway. You know, it's just life. But as I thought of choices, I think all of us probably heard a little bit about the flack that went on with Roseanne. Now, number one, I really don't know who Roseanne is. I really don't care. I probably have seen her face on the news somewhere, or I don't know. I know very little about her, but I do know that she made a very poor choice in something that she tweeted out to the whole world. And it cost her job. It cost her her reputation. It cost her family's reputation. It cost, someone said that it cost 50 people their jobs in a matter of, I think it was 4 hours. that 50 people lost their jobs because of one improperly worded tweet. Now, whether it was improperly worded or it's what she intended, I don't know. I don't know her. I'm not going to judge that. But she made a choice, and that choice affected a lot of people. Wednesday evening, Dad shared about the situation where they are right now, where a pastor, a father, has made choices that are devastating. They have devastated a church. They've devastated a family. And we don't know how far those repercussions will go. And then there's Billy Graham. Earlier this year, Billy Graham died, and you would have thought the queen died, or the king. I mean, the queen in our culture, not the king. We don't even know who he is. But you would have thought that, and rightfully so, because Billy Graham made some choices as a young man that have changed the direction for millions of people, changed the direction of their lives for millions of people. And so I give you those three examples as kind of my starting point here. Was Billy Graham perfect? No. Billy Graham was flawed like all of us. Was Billy Graham a man who did not make mistakes? No, I don't know. I'm sure he didn't. And did his children all do the right thing? There's stories out there about some of his children's choices that I'm sure they wish weren't out there. But the difference is that Billy Graham made a choice, and he was intentional about that choice, and it did make a difference in many people's lives. I want you to think about this. All choices have consequences. Period. All choices have consequences. They're either going to be good or they're going to be bad. One or the other. It's kind of like telling someone you have an attitude. Yeah, I have an attitude all the time. Sometimes it's better than others. Sometimes it's not so good. I don't want you to see it sometimes, but it's there. Our main text this morning is two verses taken from Deuteronomy 5, verses 9 and 10. Where Moses was talking to the children of Israel and he was giving them instructions for obeying the law. We're not going into the law this morning, and this is going to be my main text. We're not going to come back to it. I want you to think about it as we look at the rest of the message. But Moses said this, "You shall not bow down to them," this is the Lord's words through Moses. "You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." Now, you know what I really get frustrated with? Is most of the time when we hear this text, that's where they stop. But that's not all God said. That's not where God stopped. Listen to this. "But showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." And what I see God saying here, that if you or I will follow Christ, if we will obey God's commandments, that that choice has the same effect for good as what he's talking about in verse 9 has for bad. I almost didn't finish that sentence. What God is saying is there's choices that you have to make, that I have to make. And those choices affect a lot of people. I've really been, and I guess since I have grandchildren, I'm thinking more of this, how my choices now that I have made in the past 34 years are going to affect my grandchildren and their children, and their children. Now, does that mean that my children and my grandchildren are not going to make some choices that I'm going to wish they hadn't? No. But I've given them something to start with. And it needs to be a solid foundation. And so this morning, I have seven choices that I'd like to look at for us as fathers. But the interesting thing is these aren't just for fathers. So if you're sitting there thinking I'm talking just to the fathers, stop right there because you're going to be hearing it too. And these are choices that I believe all of us should make. But I am speaking to the fathers this morning. And there's seven of them. Number one, choose to be a man of faith and prayer, choosing thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 22. And I want to read that whole section there. But the verses that we're actually focusing on are 16, 17, and 18. Excuse me for not being ready here. Actually, that wasn't the one I wanted to read at all. But verses 16, 17, and 18, Paul says this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. God's will for us as people and God's will for us as fathers is that we choose to live by faith. Now, living by faith isn't necessarily living by the seat of your pants. We get that confused sometimes. Living by the seat of your pants is going to get you in trouble. Not always, but there's a pretty good chance. I've tried it. It doesn't work. I've lost the seat of my pants a few times. But God wants us to live intentionally. He wants us to live in faith, knowing that He has a plan. And He wants us to live out that plan. And sometimes that plan, it twists and turns around the trees that Atlee was talking about. Sometimes we need to stop and look at the ants. Feed them a little bit. Spectracide specifically. Sometimes we need to stop and look at the ducks on the path. Or maybe help the guy change the tire instead of just watching him. But sometimes we find our way. But living by faith means that I am putting all of my confidence in God. All that I have, all my confidence is in God. And then prayer and thankfulness is a result of those things. The second choice that I would like us to consider this morning is choose to be a man, and I'm putting man in these references, but if you're not a man, please don't be offended. Choose to be a man who knows the Bible. What do I know about the Scriptures? 2 Timothy 2:15, and these are references from the ESV, not the NIV, I don't think. Sometimes I switch back and forth, and I'm learning that I'm getting myself confused which translation I'm using sometimes, and I'm trying to work on that. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Do your best. And I think, what does King James say? I knew it. All right, some of you, come on, you older guys. No, you're on another verse. Study, go ahead. I got it just as you started. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Study to show thyself approved. Now, I like that because it gives me something to do, but I like the ESV or the NIV, whichever this is. Do your best. What that tells me is I'm not going to do it perfect. I'm not going to get it all right. But as I do, as I work on it, as I study, as I do my best, then God's going to change that stuff that I mess up. He's going to help me fix it. So that I don't have to be ashamed. I don't have to be ashamed when I don't get it right. Maybe I think I fail. You've heard me talk a couple weeks ago about the message series that I've been listening to about thinking differently. And he really hit me between the eyes one morning when he said, don't look at failure, don't look at, just take what I've gone through the last year, don't look at that as a serious health failure. It is an event that God has given you another day. He's given you another chance to do this. If you fail, is it a failure or is it God giving you a chance to learn how to do it differently? We need to start thinking differently about what happens in our lives. Do your best to be approved of God. No, you will not be perfect. It's not going to happen. The third one is choose to be a man after God's own heart. 2 Samuel 13:14 tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. And God was talking to Saul when he said this, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded him." God has chosen a man after his own heart. I want to be a man that God can say that about. He was a man after my heart. He cared about people. He cared about the things that were happening around him. And in Acts 13, 22, the writer there references that same verse. The fourth one is, choose to be a man of your word. James 5, 12 says, "But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. And let your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." The fifth one is, choose to be a man of integrity. James 1, 19 through 27. That's the one I wanted to get all of it. What happens when you don't write your notes real clearly or type them? "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." And we'll stop right there. James is giving us some pretty serious instruction here. And one of the things that I have a tendency to do is I have a tendency to look at myself, examine myself, and say, "Oh yeah, I should change that. I probably shouldn't do that." When my wife and I have a disagreement, and sometimes I say, "Well, that probably wasn't a very good choice." You know what she says to me sometimes? "Was it not a good choice, or are you going to do it again?" She does say that to me sometimes. And sometimes I say, "No, I'm not going to do it again." And then I do it again. And then I'm like, I'm in trouble. She's nice to me. She's not hard on me. But it's true. And sometimes I look at it and I know that I made a mistake. I know that I should not have talked to her the way I did or said what I did. And I don't really want to say I'm sorry. And it takes me a while to get there. And sometimes I need a little coaxing. And then sometimes I take longer than I need to just because I'm being stubborn. But I'm normal, okay? You guys sitting there grinning, you're grinning because you do the same thing. But that's not the way it should be. I want to be, and I've worked on this, I'm working on it, I have worked on it, and I think I'm doing better. I'm not going to ask her for a response right now. I've already got her on the hot seat enough, and I'm in trouble. No, she's fine. But I want to be a dad that recognizes my mistakes. I want to be a husband that recognizes when I mess up immediately and just stops and says, "You know, I'm sorry." And I don't always do that right, but I want to. To me, that's living and being a man of integrity. 1 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8 says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." Now, did you get everything I said? If you didn't, go back and read it. I'm going to point out a few things. He gives a whole list of qualities that he wants us to follow. And he says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, for if these are yours, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop right there because I think that's enough. That's all I need. I know that when I do that, when I choose to be a man of integrity who admits when he's wrong, who quickly admits to his wife or family, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, the way I did that was wrong, I am becoming a person of integrity. I do not want to be short-sighted and blind. Number 6, choose to be a man who loves others. Love will characterize every aspect of a godly man's life. And there's 3 points here. A man who sees others as people who Christ died for will have a deep love for mankind. 1 Corinthians 13, we all know 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And then verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abide in these 3. But the greatest of these is love. The second one is a man who loves others will have a deep love for his brothers. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And the third one, a man who loves others will have a deep love and strong guidance for his wife and children. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And then Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. A man who loves others and who makes that very clear in his own home, first to his family, will be effective when he goes out. Not always perfect, but will be effective. And number 7, choose to be an authentic man. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 12. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for this to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Simply 2 words, be real. Be real. When people don't know who you are, they don't always have to like who you are, but when they don't know who you are, there's always a question. There's always a question. I was fixing to go down a bunny trail there and I won't. It's a story that would fit, but I'm not going to do it because it's going to take too long. The conclusion to this message this morning, these choices. The choices I make have the potential to affect many people and many generations. You've heard me tell the story about Brad Kirkman, a man in Indiana whose father was a high-level official in the Nixon administration who was not a Christian and became a Christian. And I believe there were 4 children in that family, and they moved back to Indianapolis after Nixon resigned. But his dad had become a Christian in Washington. And he tells the story that how his dad's choice affected so many people. And I forget the number. And of course, it's his dad, so it's the first generation that after that. But when he gives account of how many people that has affected, his mom was saved. I think his siblings became Christians. And that is now radiating out in the choice that his father made to accept Christ and how that has affected so many people. And as I guess that was the thing earlier, it was last year actually, that he gave his life story where we were. And as I think of that, it's just really made an impression on me that the choices I make are huge. But sometimes I find myself short-sighted, and I'm sitting here saying, well, I'm hungry, I want to eat now. And that's not a real good example there, because if I'm hungry, I'm hungry. But we kind of treat life that way sometimes. I want something, I go get it. And our culture has told us that if you want something, you deserve it, and you deserve to go borrow the money to get it. The problem is then the bank deserves to get the money back, and then you got a problem. Well, hopefully not. But I think we need to weigh our choices. We need to weigh our decisions. Not only in how does this affect me today, but how is this going to affect my children? And if I'm not intentional, I'm going to make some big choices that are going to affect my family, my children, whoever I'm around, not in a positive way. And just think of what happened when David saw Bathsheba and he made a choice. We're still reading about it today. But there's one point there that I want to bring out. God still saw David as a man after his heart. Yes, he made a bad choice. He made a wrong choice. It still affects. There's still an effect there. You know, we make choices and then we pray for a crop failure. And I think David probably did. But it was too late. Be careful. As fathers, it is important to look to the future. No, you cannot guarantee that your children will not make poor or bad choices, but you can give them a foundation that they will never forget. We all like to quote Proverbs 22, verse 10. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, will not depart from it. And I like this thought that I got from a message that I was reading, just getting some things as I was closing it up this morning. And I forget, it's from John Piper's website. The immediately preceding verse implies that the youth must guard his soul from those who are crooked, in Proverbs 22:5. He must choose to follow the wicked unto death. And again, that's in chapter 2. Or he could heed the wisdom of his parents and choose the good path of righteousness unto life. That doesn't mean my child is not going to make some choices that I'm going to wish they hadn't. And it doesn't mean they're going to always follow Christ. But you know what? When you give them that foundation, they will never, ever forget it. No matter where they are, no matter what they do, they will never, ever forget it. And I want you to remember that this morning, because sometimes as parents you feel like maybe I'm not getting there. Maybe it's not getting through. But don't quit. Just keep going. As dads, make sure that my choices give them something to follow. Maybe this morning you didn't have a good example to follow and are struggling with some of these things because it wasn't modeled to you. You want to change it. You know, as a dad, I know that there's potential that I did some things that my children may struggle with to forgive me. And I keep telling them, forgive me. You have to. I need to do that same thing for my dad. And for all of us here this morning, if we, you know, I find it interesting that the last couple of weeks we've heard about forgiveness twice in the main part of our service. That wasn't my message this morning, but as I thought of that, and if you're sitting here this morning and you're wrestling with things, I would like to suggest that you cannot be the father you want to be if you're holding on to unforgiveness. Remember, your dad was flawed just like you are. However, that is not your destiny. That is not your identity. You do not have to repeat history. But to stop that cycle, you must forgive and be quick to ask your family for forgiveness. And the last point, be intentional to choose every day to be a man of prayer, faith and prayer, choosing thankfulness. Be a man who knows the Bible. Be a man after God's heart. Be a man of His word. Be a man of integrity. Be a man who loves others. And be an authentic man. Be real. I'm going to have Curtis play a song in closing. And this is going to be our closing prayer, as well as kind of an invitation to think about my life. And I want you to just sit. You don't have to close your eyes, but just prayerfully listen to this song. It's a very familiar song. And it's the song, I Want to Be Just Like You, Dad. And this may unleash emotions you don't want, but it's okay. Because what I want to tell you this morning is, if you're sitting here wrestling with that, again, I want to say one more time, that is not your identity. Your identity is what you are going to leave. Your identity is what God has given you. Number one, your identity is that you have accepted Christ. You have made the decision and choice that you're going to do this. And there's people around you to help you walk that. All of us are flawed. All of us will make choices and decisions that we wish we hadn't. And so this morning, as we listen to this song, just let the Lord speak to you. And if there's things you need to change, do it. Don't look in the mirror and walk away from it, but do it. Because you want to change that for your children and your family, for those around you. Curtis, go ahead.